We're in a brief series about grace. What is grace? It's more than something that you mindlessly say over your food. I don't even know why they call that saying grace. I'm sure there's some kind of a good reason. I don't know what it is, why they call it saying grace. And grace is more than a pretty name for a girl, although it's a wonderful name for a young lady. And I think grace is a great name for a church. But we need to understand what grace is. It is unearned, undeserved favor from God that brings all kinds of blessings into our lives. It is God working on our behalf, not because we have earned it or deserved it, not because of our goodness, but because of His goodness. It's through that grace, undeserved favor, that we receive salvation. It's also through that same grace that He continues to work in our lives. There is grace for today. You know, last week we talked about grace for the past, and to even begin to understand God's grace for today, certainly we need to know that by God's grace, our past has been taken care of, that there is forgiveness and cleansing by the blood of Jesus. Amen. We sang about it this morning. God's grace frees us from our past sins and mistakes and failures. Because of grace, He cleanses us from all unrighteousness and makes us new in Jesus Christ. By God's grace, you see, in this moment, today, right now, we can live for Him and do all that He wants us to do in this life. God's grace enables us to put that past behind. That means yesterday and whatever else might have happened in your past. And be who God wants you to be today. And do what God wants you to do today. The Bible tells us this in 2 Peter 3:18, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I think we should always be growing in an experiential knowledge of the Lord Jesus, that throughout time we just get to know the Lord better and better. But don't miss this. We're supposed to grow in grace. It's kind of strange that a lot of people act like grace is just for getting us saved so we can go to heaven. That's what grace is for. It certainly is for that. But you see, we're missing this, that grace is for every day in our lives. Every day we need the grace of God. And here's what we need to take from this scripture. We need to grow in grace. Listen, if a tree is growing, it's not staying the same. Something is happening. And if we're growing in grace, something is happening in our life. It is increasing in our life. And so we just need to learn more and more what it is to live in the grace of God every day. As most believers seem to be content to receive salvation by grace, but then they fall back into that old works mentality. They go right back to the same old pattern that, well, if I'm good enough, I mean, if I try really, really hard, I'm going to do my very best to be good. You know, be a good Christian. And if I try really, really hard and I do good enough, maybe God will answer my prayer. That's works. That's not grace. That's not how we approach God. That mindset doesn't get prayers answered. We're relying on our goodness. Remember, that can't get us saved. And you got to understand this. God is not going to bless us and reward us because we did a pretty good job. Our righteousness will always come up as filthy rags before the Lord, apart from the Lord Jesus, apart from the grace of God. You know, it kind of goes like this sometimes. I went to church this week, and I prayed some, you know, and I read my Bible a little bit, and I was nice to somebody. So when I pray, you know, hopefully God will answer my prayer. Y'all real quiet. I want to tell you, there's a whole lot of this attitude in the body of Christ today. And here's the problem with that. We're going back to works. It is by God's grace that He moves and works in our lives. God will never owe us anything. We can't earn something from God. You see, that's a worldly mindset, and it's dead religion. That's living under the law. I want to say this clearly. Obedience is important. Because a lot of the time, it is obedience that puts us in a place to really receive of God's blessings. And obedience is important because when we disobey and we're living contrary to the Scripture, a lot of the time it opens the door to the enemy of our soul. You have an enemy. You have an adversary, the Bible says. The devil, who goes about seeking whom he may devour. So, yes, we need to obey God. His laws, His instructions, His commands are for our good. And certainly, we need to obey God. I want to tell you, we also need to obey God because Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me. And what is our motivation for obedience? Well, if I'm good, you know, if I try to obey God, then He might answer my prayer. No! I want to obey God because I love my Savior. It's not so I can get something from Him. He's already done enough for me. Yes, obedience is important. But we are not trying to earn something from God by our obedience. We need to learn to be grace-minded, not works-minded. See, yes, works are important because faith without works is dead. But those works happen because we believe, not because we're trying to earn something from God. We live in the grace of God every day. That's how the Christian life starts, and that's how we live it. We need to think grace and speak grace and just live in grace much more than we do. I found this really interesting. The Apostle Paul, as most of you know, he wrote much of the New Testament. Some people say most. That's incorrect. It's amazing how people get silly ideas. He certainly wrote the most books, the most letters in the New Testament. He wrote 13, and those 13 letters are what we consider to be books of the Bible, of the New Testament. And in all 13, He speaks grace to them in His greeting. And then He speaks grace to them in His benediction, in His farewell. Even Philemon, that's only one chapter. He speaks grace to them in the greeting and He speaks grace to them in the farewell. All 13 books. We need to understand how important grace is. We need to keep it in our minds. We need to be talking about grace. I mean, this is how he started his letters and how he closed his letters. You think we ought to talk about it a little more? I'm telling you, we do. We need to keep it before us all the time because it's so easy to slip back into that old kind of a mindset. And what we really need is God's grace on our life each and every day in every situation. Today, we need God's grace. Romans 5:1-2, He says, therefore, having been justified by faith, how are you justified? Not by works, justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. I want you to see this, that he says that we have access by faith into this grace. You got to believe. That's what works here, is when we truly believe. By faith, we have access into this grace in which we stand. Not just got saved, we're standing in this grace. Today, every day, we are standing in the grace of God. I like the way the NIV says it there. It says, this grace in which we now stand. It's right now. It's not just for the past. It's for the present. Listen, it's for today. As a child of God, we stand in his favor, in his undeserved blessings, not because of anything we've done, but because of who he is. 1 Peter 5:10 tells us who he is. He is the God of all grace. The God of all grace. How wonderful to know our past sins are forgiven. But grace is also his favor working in our lives now, in the right here and the right now. He forgave all of our sins. He made us his very own. But I want to tell you, it's amazing how quick people seem to fall back into the same old condition. You need to know that the same grace that saves you is working in your life today, this morning. You can't live in the past. You know, a lot of people are always looking back, recalling the good old days. They're living in the hurts and the failures of yesterday. Some people are always looking forward, you know, that, well, someday my ship's going to come in. Someday I'm finally going to be happy. I got to tell you something. We all live in the right here and the right now. And we need God's grace in this moment. Whatever we face today, whatever situation, whatever struggle, we need God's grace. See, how can I live for God and really live a life that glorifies God with all my weaknesses and faults? How can I possibly live a life that pleases God every day? I'm going to tell you, grace. That's how. That's the only way. How can I get through the difficult times? I mean, every day has challenges and battles and struggles. Some bring heartache. Some bring exhaustion. I mean, sometimes life can just seem overwhelming. How can you get through? Grace. God's grace. That's how. How can I receive God's blessings? So many promises made throughout the Word of God. How can I receive those promises in my life? Grace. That's how. There are certainly conditions to some of them that have to be met, but I got to tell you, you're not going to earn any of them. How can I do all the things I need to do and be all that I need to be? How can I be the father, the husband, the wife, the mother? How can I be the witness for the Lord that I'm supposed to be? How can I minister to somebody else? Come on, now y'all know the answer by now, right? Grace. That's the only way. We need to be grace-minded about this. It is God's grace at work in our lives every day. I want to tell you, there is grace to live for God. He has given us this grace. Yes, so you can put behind past failures, but also to empower us to live a new life. Because without it, We still can't do right on our own. We still can't be good on our own. It takes the grace of God working in us. You know, people try to be religious, and a lot of the time they come up with all kinds of rules to try to help themselves. It's living under the law. I mean, you know, we've all heard of this and known of these kinds of things where, like, these monks, they decide they're going to live in a monastery where they can be away from all the evil of this world. I want to tell you, they're still going to have to deal with sin. Some of them take a vow of silence so they won't say anything that they shouldn't say. None of that works. This is the only thing that works: grace. We need God's grace every single day. In Romans 5:20, it says, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. I want to tell you this morning that even if you are the worst of the worst, God's grace is enough for you. But that doesn't mean that we just allow sin in our life. Some have the attitude that it's okay to sin. I've talked to some people that even go so far as to say they don't even need to ask forgiveness for their sin because they're forgiven no matter what they ever do. They're already forgiven. They can do whatever they want. They're forgiven. I want you to know that there is a big difference between being perfect and absolutely sinless. No, none of us is that. But there's something in between that and saying, it doesn't matter what I do, I can do whatever I want, I'm forgiven. That is insincere. That is phony and hypocrisy. And here's what the Bible says in Jude verse 4. Certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who changed the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. Godless men change the grace of God into a license for immorality. It's been going on a really long time. This was an issue that the early church had to deal with. Godless people say it doesn't matter if they sin. Romans 6, 1 and 2, the NIV says it this way: what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? We died to sin. He's talking about that our old nature was crucified on the cross with Christ. That's by faith. Same way we got saved, amen? It was crucified on the cross with Christ by faith. We understand that and we believe that. But it is God's grace that not only forgives us, but empowers us to live this life. You see, when we're in God's grace, there's never any room for any pride, any boasting, because it's God's grace, not ourselves. It's by God's grace we live this life pleasing the Lord. I want you to understand this morning that we should live a life of prayer. Prayer is how we ask for God's help. And if we don't pray, it's like we're saying to God, hey, I don't need you. I'll let you know if I need you. We need to pray. We need the scriptures. We need to learn to study the scriptures, as the Bible says, to meditate therein day and night. We need the scriptures. The scriptures renew our mind. Romans 12, 2, he says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't be like the world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Yes, we need the scriptures, and we need to be students of the word. I want you to understand, we need to submit ourselves to God and resist the devil. See, we need to be wise about what we do and where we go and what we allow in our lives and who we do life with. We need to be wise about all of those things. But we do all of this by the grace of God. His favor, His blessing is on us to enable us, to help us, so we're not just doing this struggling on our own. No, we're relying upon Him. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You see, this grace is for today, for to help us to overcome in the battles, the struggles, the challenges we face. We rely upon His grace. And I want to tell you, there is grace today for every situation and circumstance that you face. As we all go through difficult times, at tests and trials of all kinds, you need to realize you don't face them alone. No, God is with you. He's going to help you. It is by His grace that you're going to overcome. See, we don't just face them with our own strength and wisdom or ability. We're relying upon the grace of God. We stand in this grace, in His favor. I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. And I'm going to read it from the NIV. It just reads a little easier. But this is a passage that a lot of people are familiar with. But it's amazing to me how it's turned in so often. It's just turned into a matter of controversy rather than receiving it as a powerful spiritual truth to us. But I'm going to begin in verse 7. He says, to keep me, this is the Apostle Paul, he says, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassing great revelations. Now, just a little bit of background here. The Apostle Paul had seen such revelations that God had showed him things, revealed things to him, things that were so awesome, some of them he couldn't even talk about. But he says, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassing great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. Now we're going to talk about the thorn in the flesh for just a minute. What is this thorn in the flesh? I certainly don't think that the Apostle Paul had been out in the briars somewhere and got a thorn, an actual thorn in his flesh. And I don't see anybody in this room this morning that seems to be favoring a thorn that you've got, that you came to church with some thorn stuck in you this morning. That's not what he's talking about. Now here's where the problem comes in. Then everybody wants to figure out exactly what the thorn in the flesh was. Oh, you know, there's some scriptural evidence. You know, he had an eye problem, so it must have been this eye thing or some other illness. And so this passage, therefore, only applies to people that have an eye problem or people that have some kind of a sickness or disease. And then other people that come up with this teaching now that, well, he was talking about a demon-possessed girl that followed him around for 3 days. You know, that's in the scripture. And after 3 days, he had enough and he cast that demon out. And that's what it's talking about here. So if you've ever got a demon-possessed girl following you around for 3 days, well, there's grace of God to take care of that. Wow. Let me know if that ever happens to you. And see, here's the problem with all of that. When we say, well, this must be exactly what it is, it's not for us. Did you know there's a reason that the Holy Spirit had the Apostle Paul write it this way, talking about a thorn in the flesh instead of calling out what it was? Because we need to understand that the thorn in the flesh is whatever your struggle is, whatever your burden is, whatever your weakness is, whatever your problem is, that's the thorn in the flesh. And we need to understand that the truths that are revealed here are for us today. By the way, don't come tell me a new version that you got about what the thorn was. I've heard them all. I don't want to hear one. I know what it is. It's your problem. It's my problem. That's the thorn in the flesh. But the same grace that was available to the Apostle Paul is available to us. Why did this happen? He said, to keep me from becoming conceited, from being puffed up with pride. This is one of the worst things that could ever happen to you. Pride brings destruction. That's what the Bible says. Don't listen to the world. Pride brings destruction. And somehow, we may not like it, we may not understand it, but the Lord was protecting Paul. Paul says, to keep me from becoming conceited, this thorn in the flesh was given to me, to keep me from being destroyed, being puffed up with pride, so that it was an open door to the enemy to destroy me. This thorn in the flesh was given to me. And we may not understand our struggles. We may not understand why this happened, why that happened, why we have this weakness. But maybe part of that equation is that God is helping us to be humble before Him and to rely upon His grace rather than to be prideful and arrogant that would destroy us. Talked a lot about this year. James 4:6, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. We're talking about grace. We want grace in our life every day. And how does that come? He gives grace to the humble. You see, when we get puffed up in pride, God resists us. But when we're humble, we receive more grace. And that's what happened to the Apostle Paul. Instead of being conceited and becoming proud, he was humble before God and received God's grace. Verse 9, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. Paul says, I'm going to boast about my weaknesses. Why? Because the Lord said to him, my power is made perfect in weakness. You see, we live in a time where even in the church world, people brag about their strengths. They boast about how they're good at this or good at that. That's what they want to talk about. Churches are marketed. They even market Jesus, I'm just saying. But, you know, it's all about our strengths. And look what we're good at. Look what we can do. What we need to focus on is the grace of God. That in our weakness, He is strong in us. His power works in us. Paul says, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses. Why? So Christ's power may rest on me. Oh, we need to get this. You see, we give God all the glory. It is just His grace working in us. We're not doing this on our own. Look at me. No, it's look at the Lord. Look at how good our God is. There's no room for pride. We brag on our weakness. so that God gets all the glory. I'm not very good at this, maybe, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to boast about my weaknesses. I'm a shy introvert. Makes me uncomfortable to talk to people, especially people that I don't know. I've been told by a good friend, "You have a terrible personality for a pastor." I know. I see these other pastors. Oh, they're so comfortable. You know, they walk into a crowd and they're the life of the party. Hey, yeah. You know, this is who they are. It's not hard. This is who they are. And me, I'd rather go sit in a chair over somewhere in the corner and just watch. I can get up here and talk. No, I'm the guy in high school that couldn't stand to get up in front of people and say anything. I remember when I was 18 and I, you know, got in church, gave my life to the Lord. One day I had on a shirt, the youth all had these shirts. I can't even remember what was on it, but it was some kind of a shirt the youth had. And the pastor calls me out. He says, "Mark, stand up, turn around, let everybody see your shirt." And I did. And everybody laughed. You know why? Because my face was beet red. Who's this guy up front talking? I just want to tell you, I'm weak. I am weak in so many ways. And no, I'm not going to give you all of them this morning. We'd be here till noon just talking about that. But I am going to say this. That if I am anything at all, it is by the grace of God and Him only. I rely completely on His grace. Now, I know some of you're probably thinking, "Well, you need a little more of that grace." And I'm just saying, I know. You know, I used to be good at some things. Thought I was. I was weak. Weak as a provider. I learned that I was weak as a parent. Certainly learned I was weak as a pastor. Weak in so many areas. But here's the good side of that. Oh, that just opens the door for the power of Christ to rest on me. And it is more than enough. You see, God always gets all the glory. There's no room for selfish pride. There's no room for us thinking that we can do it on our own. That the power of Christ may rest on me. That's grace. Verse 10, that is why for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses. Wow. Anybody delighting in weaknesses? How about in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties? He says, "For when I'm weak, then I'm strong." How is that possible? Because the grace of God works in us. His power is upon us. It's not just for our past, it's for our present. It is sufficient for the needs of the day, the problems, the battles that we face. So do you have a weakness this morning? Do you have hardships? Has somebody treated you wrongly? You're going through some great struggle or battle in your life? I want to tell you, God's grace is sufficient for you. And He doesn't always take the problem away, but He will give you the grace, the strength that you need to overcome. His grace is sufficient. Whatever you go through, your present situation, His grace is sufficient. Grace. Grace is how we receive the promises and the blessings in the Scripture. Grace is how he provides everything that we need. Grace that we stand in every day. It opens the door to all of the promises and the blessings available to us in the scripture. In John 1:16 in the NIV, talking about Jesus, it says, "From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another." How? The fullness of his grace, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's how we just receive one blessing after another. See, we got to get rid of the Christian pride. Well, God has blessed me because I did this and I did that. We just need to get to the place where we are relying upon God's grace all the time. I'm going to tell you, the well of grace, it's so much deeper than most Christians think. So much is available to us there. The scripture says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed. He's the same. And when Jesus walked this earth in his ministry, if you read the Gospels, you will see Jesus doing miracles for all kinds of people. Listen to me. He didn't just do miracles, healings, and setting people free and all, raising people from the dead. He didn't just do these things for real spiritual people. In fact, there's no indication of that whatsoever. You bring together all of the people that Jesus did miracles for, and it's quite the motley crew. I mean, people that you would never suspect that he would do anything for. Like that thief Zacchaeus, or Mary Magdalene, full of seven devils, or that woman at the well, or the woman caught in adultery. I mean, the list is long of people who certainly did not deserve anything from Jesus. But did you know there's not one person that he turned away and said, "You know what? If you were a little more godly, I mean, if you weren't such a sorry dog, I might help you. But I can't help you because you know what? You need to get your act together and come back. Then maybe I'll help you." But that is exactly the spirit, the attitude, alive and well in church culture today. Sometimes, where the gospel is preached for the first time, miracles happen. And some people will say, "Well, that's so they'll get saved." No. That's because they didn't know that you have to have your act together and be good to be able to receive something from God. They just heard the message and they believed. And we fall back into that works mentality. If I just do everything right. You know, my wife sets a really high bar. Lives for God, serves God every day, prays and reads the word for hours. And but I want to tell you something. God doesn't do miracles for her because she does all that. I remember the day when she was battling cancer and she says to me, "I'm going to be all right. My Father loves me." That's it. That's it. Not about I did this and I did that and I'm. It's about my Father loves me. And I want you to hear today that this grace of God, it is for you every day. He loves you. He's giving you favor that you don't deserve. That's grace. Whatever need you have, you're believing for, miracles that you would ask, get your mind off of doing this and doing that. Get your mind on the grace of God, His undeserved, unearned favor for you. You know, Jesus illustrates the heart of the Father in the story, what we call, of the prodigal son, where this prodigal son, he takes his inheritance and he goes out and he wastes it all on sinful living. And he comes to himself when he's has nothing and he's totally broke and he's feeding pigs and he's so hungry he wants to eat the pig food. And then he goes home and the father comes running to meet him. And we usually use this story, talk about this story, about lost people coming to the Lord or someone who has backslidden coming back to God. And certainly it applies to that. But I want you to see the heart of the Father in that story. You know, when that son came home, he said, I will ask just to be one of the servants. He didn't even deserve that. Neither do we. But that's not what happened, is it? No, the father, he said, bring the best robe. Not a robe. Well, my son's here. Sorry, dog. Get him something to wear. Bring the best robe. How'd that happen? Grace. Bring a ring. Bring the family ring. He's much a part of the family as anybody. Bring the family ring. Put it on his finger. Get shoes for his feet. We're going to kill the fatted calf and have a party. My son is here. This is the heart of the Father. He didn't treat him at all the way he deserved. It was all grace. Just grace poured out on him. And I want to tell you this morning, whatever mistakes and all of that, yes, that's in the past. But you need to realize for right here, right now, God wants to show us His grace. Believe in the grace of God. See, when we have needs, where is it that we go to in prayer? We go to the throne of grace. Hebrews 4:16, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. We don't come to the throne of works. We don't come to God and try to bargain with Him and say, Lord, you know, I've done this and I've done that and I didn't do that, God. And, you know, no. We come to the throne of grace. And he says we come with confidence. And I have to tell you, I've seen this taken totally out of context and abused where it turns into a prideful thing where people come in and they boast before God and act arrogant. It is quite the opposite. Our confidence is not in ourselves. It's not self-confidence. Our confidence is in the grace of God. That we come because He is the God of all grace. That's where our confidence rests. And so, yes, we come with confidence because He's so good. He's so gracious because He loves us. Oh, what a relief. I was telling you, when we come to the throne of grace, it's not about what we did or didn't do. It's about His grace. And He says there is grace. We find mercy and grace to help in our time of need. There is grace today. For you to be who God wants you to be. For you to do what God wants you to do. Ephesians 3:7-8, Paul says, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of His power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, I want you to remember this, I am less than the least of all God's people, This grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. How did he become this minister, this servant of the gospel? By the gift of God's grace. He says, even though he was the least of all God's people, it was given to me. And we all know that other than the Lord Jesus, nobody has had a bigger impact than the Apostle Paul in ministering to others and what he accomplished for the Lord. And yet he says, it's all God's grace. Whatever God does in your life, you see, he gets all the glory. We all know Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. We all know we can't accomplish anything for the kingdom. We can't minister to anybody, help anybody, apart from Jesus. It's just his grace working in us and through us. There's no room for any pride whatsoever. I trust so hard in the grace of God. I know I don't have the ability to intellectually stimulate, to entertain, to persuade with great arguments. I acknowledge that I rely upon God's grace always. Years and years ago, I was asked to come speak at a youth camp in Idaho, and it was such a great honor to get to go and do that. It was also very humbling. When I got there, the man that invited me to come, he told me, he said, well, the last 4 years we had this speaker and that speaker. They were nationally known speakers. And here's me. And when the camp was over, he told me, the young people really liked it. They really got something out of it. He said, you know, they just felt like, they said that if God can use this guy, he can use me. And how right that is. Because it's all God's grace. It's not about our ability. God doesn't need any superstars. He just needs people that will allow him to work in their life and to work through them and give him the glory and the honor. You don't need to be a superstar. He's the one that does the work. But I want to close with this. Today in your life, whatever you need, whatever you're going through, whatever your struggle, whatever your weakness, I tell you, there is grace for you today. And I encourage you this morning to come to the throne of grace. Stand with me, we're going to pray.